Hello, and welcome. Welcome to Freedom's Way and our message this evening. For anybody out there who has opened this this message as a podcast, we'd like for you to understand this is a live teleconference meeting. So there will be people dialing in from all across the country. We'll begin our message in about 3 to 5 minutes just to give them an opportunity to get here. And any time that you would like to join Freedom's Way on our teleconference meetings, they are held every Monday and Friday evening at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You would dial 605-475-2090. And enter your access code, which is 373363#, spells free me on your telephone keypad. You can also go online to www.freedomswayministries.com for information about us and ways to support our ministry. So welcome once again. If you would like to say hello before we get started, now is a good chance for you to do that. Any friendly hellos out there? Quietness. And there shall be quietness and peace forever, right? Hallelujah.
Hi, Miss Vicki. Hello there, sis. What's going on tonight?
Hi, Mitch. Glad to have you with us.
Oh, I'm glad to be there, too, then. Sorry I missed you last week doing the vacation thing. And when I'm on vacation, there's always always some weird stuff always going on, always, you know, tied up doing something with somebody. Family or something going on.
Well,
glad you're here. Glad you're here for us.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I'll mute out.
All righty. Anybody else want to say hello?
Helen is calling.
Hi, Helen.
That sounds like Judy.
I think that was Judy, too, wasn't it?
Yeah, it sounds like Judy.
Okay. Welcome, ladies. Miss Judy on the morning call this morning. Anybody else want to say hello?
I had the girls this morning.
Ah, okay.
It's a little tough.
I can't open the present. How do you get this?
Oh,
headphone jack. Did you know you have a headphone jack? No, you don't.
Okay, who might that be?
Oh, hi, it's Queen.
Hi, Queen. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you.
Glad to have you here.
I'm blessed to be here. I'm thankful. Thank you.
Anybody else before I mute your telephones want to say hello? All right. Well, it's been about 3 or 4 minutes. So I am going to mute your telephones. And we'll get started tonight.
Am I the chimes or?
Yeah, you're the chimes.
Hallelujah. Good evening and welcome to Freedom's Way weekly teaching. We teach this message on Mondays and Fridays, and tonight we are in Old Testament Principles for a New Testament Life. So welcome. My name is Phil Burdett. I'm here with my wife, Vicki. We are Freedom's Way. Our mission is to help you find or help you enter into your true identity in Christ and all the benefits therein. All the power, all the glory, all the great and wonderful things, the promises that God has given us in the Bible that we are teaching how to obtain and how to walk in your true identity as God created you to be. And anything we can do in that area, we are glad to do it. So just feel free to contact us at any time if you have any issues that we can help you with in helping you walk the freedom walk.
Amen.
In your life.
Give them our phone number. So they can
Yes, and our number is 904-993-2876.
Amen.
And feel free to call at any time to schedule counseling and or if you're interested in any of the books, anything about Freedom's Way Ministries, as well as you did here, that our website, freedomswayministries.com. So feel free to go there anytime, and you will be blessed. So I'm going to pray us in tonight and get us started. Father God, we just thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for the anointing on your word for freedom, for deliverance, for strength, for growth in you. So we thank you for that word tonight. We thank you that it is anointed to teach us. We will receive whatever, Lord, that you have for us in this message. We give you all the honor and all the glory, and we turn aside any assignment in the name of Jesus that would try to disrupt this to cause any confusion or any blunt the message in any way that would not or to keep or that would attempt any spirit that would attempt to turn aside any of the what God has for you in this message. So we thank you, Lord, that you're with us, that your anointing is on this message, and God bless you as you hear tonight in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, this is the third message in our series that we're calling Old Testament Principles for a New Testament Life. The Lord is proving to us how every word of his holy book is true and timely. Many people in the body of Christ don't see the relevance of the Hebrew Scriptures, what we call the Old Testament, to today's world, today's circumstances, today's relationships, today's life. I believe that kind of thinking is a mistake. Anyone should be able to open the Bible to any page and preach Jesus. According to Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. It's also been said, and rightly I believe, that the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. And the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed.
Yeah.
In addition to that, we should never discount or discredit or disregard, don't diss the book. Don't discredit, disregard, or discount the books in the Bible which come before Matthew, because we're taught in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, if all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, then every single book of the Bible, from Genesis all the way through Revelation, is God-breathed and important. If all Scripture is profitable for teaching, conviction, putting things in order, training us in righteousness, then we will benefit from what it teaches when it convicts us of wrongdoing. where it straightens us up again, what area we're out of whack, and how it trains us in character and action.
Amen. That pretty much sums it up. Sums up the when, where, what, and how of Scripture. And the who is, of course, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So that being said, let's get started by the examples set forth in the book of 2 Kings, chapter 5. And if you will be taking notes, then use one sheet of paper to write a few names, leaving space of several lines between them. And if you aren't taking notes, think about changing your mind and doing so. You may want to refer back to what God reveals to you. We're going to begin by reading the entire chapter, and then we're going to go back to these different verses and allow the Holy Spirit to open them up to us. And here's a little background. At this time in history, Israel was in tribute to Syria. In other words, the Syrians had rule over them. They were essentially enslaved and had to do whatever they were told to do if they wanted to survive. So here we go. My lovely wife, Vicki, is going to read this, so listen up. We're going to read the entire chapter. Hang in there with us and enjoy.
Amen. Hallelujah. Those of you who know me, you've heard this chapter before. This is one of my very favorites. 2 Kings chapter 5. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said to her mistress, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet that's in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." And one went in and told his Lord, saying, "Thus and thus said the maid that's of the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, Go. I'll send a letter to the king of Israel." And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now when this letter has come to you, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to you, that you may recover him of his leprosy." And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man does send to me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, see how he seeks a quarrel against me." And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, he sent to the king, saying, "Wherefore have you rent your clothes? Why did you tear up your good coat there, king? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall come again to you, and you shall be clean." But Naaman was wroth. He was angry, furious. And he went away and said, "Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper? Are not Abana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spoke to him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid you do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much rather then when he says to you, Wash and be clean. Then he went down and dipped himself seven times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again, like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, and he and all his company, and came and stood before him and said, Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now, therefore, I pray you, take a blessing of your servant. But he said, this is Elisha, As the Lord lives before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. And Naaman said, Shall there not then, I pray you, be given to your servant 2 mules burden of earth? For your servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. In this thing, the Lord pardon your servant, that when my master goes into the house of Rimmon to worship there, and he leans on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon, when I bow down myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon your servant in this thing. And he said to him, Go in peace. So he departed from him a little way. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, Behold, my master has spared Naaman the Syrian in not receiving at his hands that which he brought. But as the Lord lives, I will run after him and take somewhat of him. So Gehazi followed after Naaman. And when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from the chariot to meet him and said, Is all well? He said, All is well. My master has sent me, saying, Behold, even now there be come to me from Mount Ephraim 2 young men of the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray you, a talent of silver and 2 changes of garments. And Naaman said, Be content, take 2 talents. And he urged him and bound 2 talents of silver in 2 bags. With 2 changes of garments, and laid them upon 2 of his servants, and they bare them before him. And when he came to the tower, he took them from their hand and bestowed them in the house, and he let the men go, and they departed. But he went in and stood before his master, and Elisha said to him, Whence comest you, Gehazi? Where have you been? And he said, Your servant went nowhere. And he said unto him, Went not my heart with you? When the man turned again from his chariot to meet you, is it a time to receive money and to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants? The leprosy, therefore, of Naaman shall cleave unto you and unto your seed forever. And he went out from his presence as a leper, as white as snow.
Whew. Thank you for your word, Lord.
Okay. Now, the first name, right in your notes, is Naaman. In the very first verse, we see some things about Naaman that are relevant to us. Here it is again, 2 Kings 5:1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. Okay, here we see, first of all, that Naaman was a captain of the host of the king of Syria. That means he was close to the king. He was important to the king and in the kingdom. He was a man that commanded respect. He had authority. The king himself considered Naaman great and honorable. He had done great things for the king, defeated enemies, and freed his nation. He was brave and courageous, but write this down, Naaman was a leper. And lepers are not attractive people. They are considered outcasts, and they are sick. So what can we learn from the description of Naaman? First of all, you can be sick and still be important, still be close to the king. You can still have authority. You can still defeat enemies of the king. You can still set people free. Whatever infirmities we may have, whatever injuries we may have suffered, whatever nasty disease might have attached itself to us, there's no reason to give up or to give in to it. Whether or not people like you or hate you, whether or not they are attracted to you or reject you, it doesn't matter to the king, and it shouldn't matter to you.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is so important. It doesn't matter to the king, so it shouldn't matter to you. The next person we see that we need to write down in the notes is the little maid. Now, what could we surmise about this person? First of all, according to this description given in the Word, she was a maid or a maiden. That's a girl of an age anywhere between infancy and adolescence. And it says she was small. So we can guess maybe she was a preteen. She had to be old enough to be pressed into service to Naaman's wife. So let's say she was about 12 years old. The other thing we can intelligently guess is that because she was taken into captivity by this band of soldiers, she would have been separated from her family and forced to come along, it probably was not her idea of what her life would be like. My guess is, like most young girls, she was beginning to pay attention to the boys. She was beginning to think about how one day she would marry and keep house and have kids and all that. A nice, happy little life as a nice, happy little wife. But now, her life was turned upside down, and she found herself as a servant, not a young girl growing up in her own family to face a conventional and relatively comfortable future. So you can write that down. She was taken against her will. She was confused and disappointed. She suffered trauma. I think it's fair to say a young girl would feel those things in that situation. Don't you?
Amen. But in verse 3, we see this young girl, the one who suffered the trauma and indignity of being stripped from her family, hauled away, and forced to become a servant, earnestly sharing information that would help her captors.
That's amazing.
She wasn't murmuring and complaining and thinking, ha, serves him right, the big blowhard. I know God can heal him, but he doesn't deserve to be healed.
God, I'm just going to keep that to myself.
Right. This young girl could have been angry and bitter toward Naaman and his wife, but instead she reached out to help them. She was crying out to God to bring Naaman to the prophet Elisha. She knew the answer to his leprosy, And she was not withholding it from him. She was not, she not only made the best of her situation, she was best, she was the best she could be in it. Let me say that again. She not only made the best of her situation, she was the best she could be in her situation. In the midst of captivity, she sought to release her captors from their own bondage. So write this down. She forgave and she held no bitterness. She was not a murmurer and did not accuse God.
Wow. What an example. Like, she should have been in the Faith Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
In verse 5, we see the king of Syria. Now, that's the next person on your list, king of Syria. What can we deduce about this man? Well, let's look at it. The girl told the wife told the husband, and the husband, Naaman, told the king about the prophet in Israel who was reported to be a healer of leprosy. And the king, king of Syria, the king responded. Now by this, we know he cared about his captain and obviously wanted to do what he could for those who served him. But we also see that he knew nothing about the God of Israel. We know that because he prepared a bribe to buy Naaman's healing. And because he sent the letter to the king of Israel, directing that the king should effectuate the healing. So in this man's mind, kings were in charge of everything. So they could direct any persons in their kingdoms. He didn't understand that the Israelites served a higher king than the one in earthly authority, and that the one in charge on earth did not direct the one in charge from heaven. It's important that we know this. He didn't understand that you don't move the hand of God with money.
Yeah.
So you can write down that the king of Syria didn't know God, but he cared about people.
Amen. The next person on the list is the king of Israel. He didn't know God either. He knew God existed, and he knew he wasn't God, but he was not confident that God was for him. He immediately focused on his own inadequacies. The king wants me to heal his captain, and I can't do that.
Yeah.
You can make a note that this king did not trust God, and it was likely that he was accustomed to doing things in his own strength and abilities. He was in fear, and he allowed the spirit of fear to cause him to jump to conclusions. In his mind, he went directly to another conflict. See how he wants to quarrel, he asked. He's looking for an excuse to wipe us out. The king did not know his God and therefore was easily ruled by a spirit of fear.
And I think that's worth repeating too. If we don't know our God, we are easily ruled by a spirit of fear. And that kind of suspicion and fear and doubt leads to all kinds of terrible things. So now we get to the next person to write down in your notes, Elisha the prophet. What can you say about Elisha? First of all, he knew his God. He knew. Elisha trusted God, and he knew God's power. He knew God's heart and his mind. Elisha was not afraid. First of all, he wasn't afraid of the king of Israel. He even sent him a word of chastisement. Why did you tear your clothes? Don't you know there's a God in Israel? Knowing he was a mighty prophet, I'd like to think he might even have said something like this. What is your problem? Even the little girls know there's a God in Israel. And here you are acting like a frightened puppy. I can see Elisha saying something like that. Those prophets back then, they were bold. So you can write down that Elisha trusted God and was not afraid. Then we see Naaman again, so go back to your Naaman note. This time, he was sitting on his high horse, so to speak. He just rode up to the door of the house. He wouldn't come off his position of greatness. He stood outside Elisha's house. Not going to come under his roof. Not going to come under his authority. Because now, think about it. Naaman was the captain of the host of Syria. And Israel was in tribute to Syria. So in the natural world, just like the centurion and Jesus, in the natural world, the centurion was in charge. But he recognized the higher authority. Naaman did not recognize the higher authority. This is an indication that he expected others to recognize and honor him. So you can write in your notes, that is an indication of pride and entitlement.
Back to Elisha. He didn't even come out of his house. Instead, he's...
That was a slap in the face.
So we got the prideful guy up on the horse telling the prophet to come out, and he wouldn't even come out. Instead, he sent a message to Naaman at the mouth of a servant about Elisha. You can write, no respecter of persons. This action or non-action on the part of Elisha really upset Naaman. He became very angry because this prophet did not meet his expectation. Hey, you, what's the matter with you? I thought you'd come out yourself and lay hands on me and heal me. I'm important. Don't you know who I am? You can't treat me like this and get away with it. What do you mean washing the Jordan? I could have stayed home and washed in cleaner rivers than that. I could have got in the jacuzzi.
Yeah.
You're crazy, man. Pride almost caused him to miss his healing right there. And you can write that under Naaman's name, anger and pride.
Ooh, hallelujah.
Now, next, we have more servants. And we don't know who they were, so you can just put unnamed servants. And these unnamed servants represent the voice of reason and peace. They took a gentle approach, an approach of humility in dealing with their boss. They didn't hide from his anger, but they addressed it with a meek and quiet spirit. This is very, very valuable lesson to learn. My father, they addressed him, my father. Who could resist such a greeting? And then they brought Naaman an answer that he could accept. You're a great man. You're a great man, Naaman. Of course you expected to have to do some great thing, which you surely would have done. Why not give this simple thing a try? And of course, Naaman did. He listened. Under the unnamed servants, you can write, they were humble, wise, and tactful. They were willing to help and bring reconciliation. You know, the gospel is so simple. It truly is. God doesn't expect us to do amazingly difficult things.
Right.
He just wants us to follow his simple leading and allow him to do the heavy lifting. When we obey in the simple things, then he steps in and accomplishes the hard things.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Well, so we're going to finish examining this chapter next week, because I know God has more to say than we have time for tonight. And we've already gotten a lot of fine meat, a lot to meditate on. Go back to your notes. So far, and beside each name, write me.
Me?
M-E.
Me.
Not me as in me, Phil. Don't write me, Phil. Right. Your name. That's like they do in the Pledge of Allegiance. They'll hold up your hand. Your name. Anyway. Think about your life, your circumstances, and how your actions and reactions compare to those of these people, good and bad. Remember, the word is good for reproof. Are you convicted in any of these areas? I certainly was. Does the clarity of what you've heard so far in this chapter serve to straighten out some things in your life? Well, we hope so.
So next week, we'll look at a couple other things to note about Naaman and Elisha, and we'll also take a look at Gehazi, the servant of Elisha. I'd like to bring in some companion scriptures from the New Testament, but right now, let's look at the principles that we've seen so far, and then we'll pray.
Amen. So here we go. In Naaman, we saw, one, because you have an illness or infirmity does not mean you are disqualified in the eyes of the king.
Right.
You can still accomplish mighty things for God and his kingdom. Number two, arrogance and prideful attitudes can cause you to miss what God has for you. Wow.
Lord.
Now you could spend the evening talking about that, because so many people don't even might have that and don't even recognize it. Arrogance and prideful attitudes can cause you to miss what God has for you. And number three, humbling yourself and listening to the wisdom of God, even through people you may consider subordinate to you, can bring a great blessing.
Amen. That's hard for a lot of people. It's very difficult for some people who've been walking in the kingdom for a long time or who have a high position in the church or whatever to listen to the new guy or the one who's only been saved for a year or whatever. It's difficult, but we can learn so much. You know, there is no little Holy Spirit. He's just as big in the 5-year-old kid as he is in me.
Ma'am. Okay, moving along. In the Kings, we saw, one, because you have a position of power or have a caring heart toward people doesn't mean you know God. Very evident in the world today, there's many people with a great deal of care for people or a soft heart for people that don't know their God. Number two, money doesn't move the hand of God.
Amen.
You can't buy it. Thank you, Lord. Depending on your number three, depending on your own strength and abilities leaves you open to fear. And boy, that's another story there. And number four, distrust or doubt of God creates an atmosphere of suspicion and conflict.
Yeah, I mean, the king of Israel was ready to go to war. He wants to fight with me.
Right. So in the servants, we saw, number one, our circumstances. should never change our attitudes and commitment to serve God and love people. Wow. Two, addressing anger with meekness, speaking truth and love, can change the hearts and minds of others. Addressing anger with meekness, speaking truth and love, can change the hearts and minds of others. And number three, in the servants, helpfulness and reconciliation bring great reward. Walk in love. In Elisha, we saw, number one, he had no respect of persons. Two, make God known to those in authority and those who don't know him. And number three, speak the word of the Lord to realize his will accomplished.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Certainly, these are principles for us today, without question. And we thank you, Lord, for bringing these principles to light and alive in us and in our lives. So let's pray together. If you all want to seal this word in your hearts and in your minds and get rid of a few hindering spirits along the way, then I suggest that you pray this prayer with me out loud. So you ready?
Amen.
Okay. Father God, you are an awesome God. And I'm grateful to you for revealing these principles to me. I am convicted in many ways because of this account. Because of this account, as I see myself in each one of these people, forgive me, Father, for giving up on myself.
Forgive me, Father, for giving up on myself.
For not recognizing that I can press in.
Press through.
Every illness. Every infirmity, every challenge, without quitting. Help me realize that because of you, I can accomplish whatever is set before me. I break agreement now with every spirit of self-pity. Hopelessness,
discouragement,
and despair. Every one of them that has plagued me. Forgive me, Lord God, for participating with them. And forgive me, Lord, for attitudes of arrogance. And pride, a haughty spirit. That has caused me to believe others should serve me.
It's caused me to believe others serve me.
And do things my way. Or that I deserve to be respected.
I deserve to be respected.
I break agreement with arrogance and pride. And a haughty spirit. Your word tells me that only by pride comes contention. And I can see that many times anger has risen up because of pride. I break agreement with that anger right now. As I have broken agreement with pride. Help me be humble in all circumstances. and with all people, so that you can raise me up at the right time, healed and whole. Lord, I don't want to fall into a trap, the trap of respecting one person over another person in your kingdom, judging some to be less important than others. Forgive me, Lord, and free me from judgmental spirits.
Free me from judgmental spirits.
And critical spirits. I break agreement with them. And I break agreement with unforgiveness. And bitterness. I declare that the blood of the Lord Jesus is all powerful and effective.
Powerful and effective.
To free me now. Ooh, hallelujah. I am going to now speak to those things. Actually, before I do that, I want you to do this. Father, I forgive my ancestors for any time they open the door to any of the spirits I have named. I forgive them and I release them from responsibility for any curse that's attached itself to me. I take those curses and give them to the Lord Jesus. Because he is my curse bearer. Hallelujah. Woo! Okay, I'm going to speak to these things right now. And for anybody who has not experienced a deliverance, you may have some kind of physical manifestation. You may sneeze or cough or cry or yawn. Yawning is a big thing. You might feel a little queasiness or a tightness in your chest or a band around your head or something like that. Those are evil spirits that have been on assignment to mess up your life. They are manifesting to distract you so they don't have to stay, or to put you in fear so that they can hang on. So right now, I just take authority over any fear of evil in the name of Jesus Christ, and I bind you, I say, you step aside because God is coming through. And I thank you, Lord. I yield myself to you, and I declare I can do nothing without you, but with you, there is nothing I can't do. I speak to every spirit and spirit guide, generational and present, of self-pity, hopelessness, discouragement, despair, and I cast you out. You come up and out from every cell in their bodies right now. I send you to the pit that burning coals fall on you, and you cannot rise again. Get up, get out, and go. In the name of Jesus Christ, I speak to arrogance, pride, the haughty spirit, and every spirit of anger associated with it. You have no place in these people. They broke agreement with you. You cannot stay. In the name of Jesus, I cast you out from every cell in their bodies. And I send you into the consuming fire of the living God. Oh, hallelujah. Anger, go now. All that contention and strife from pride, get out. In Jesus' name, you don't have a place, you don't have a venue, you don't have a way to express your nasty nature. I send you into the consuming fire of the living God. In the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I cast out all judgmental and critical spirits, generational and present. And I dig out every bitter root judgment. The words that you have spoken in judgment of yourself, I dig out those bitter roots in Jesus' name. I send every one of those judgmental, critical spirits to the pit, that burning coals fall on them, and they cannot return in Jesus' name. I speak to unforgiveness and bitterness. You have blocked their healing too long. Your time is up. I cast you out in the name of Jesus. You come up and out from every thought in their mind, every emotion in their heart, every cell in their bodies. Take your nasty diseases with you, all unforgiveness, all bitterness. Get up, get out, and go. I send you into the consuming fire of the living God, and I declare you cannot return. Go. God's people will walk in love and in humility. In the name of Jesus, Father, in every place where these spirits have been, I ask you for a fresh infilling. Whew. Thank you, Lord. Fill us up. Where there was hopelessness, discouragement, despair, fill us with your joy, Lord. Fill us with the hope that puts our faith to work. Working in love, fill us with your perfect love that casts out all fear. Where there was arrogance and pride and a haughty spirit, Lord, give us a deeper measure, a greater understanding of humility and meekness, having that great strength and keeping it under control. Lord, where there was anger, give us peace. In the name of Jesus, fill us with your pardon, your forgiveness, the sweet savor of heaven. Where there was judgment and criticism, Lord, give us your purity and your power, your compassion, your grace. Fill us up, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's still working. Let that Holy Spirit just flood over you, through you. It's washing through every corner of your heart, every nook and cranny. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. What an amazing God you are. What an amazing God you are. You are just awesome. You are so good. We honor you. We praise you, Lord. We give you glory. We give you thanks for your goodness and your wonderful works to the children of men. Nobody can do what you do, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Ah. If there's anybody out there that is just not totally undone and you have a comment or a question, you can push your star 6 keys and we will be able to hear you.
Hi, Vicki. It's Clean. That was incredibly powerful. Incredibly powerful. Praise the teaching and deliverance of it. Oh, thank you. Praise God. It's so good.
Amen. God is good. God is good. Thank you, Queen.
Thank you. I'm so thankful.
There's such an anointing.
Oh, yeah.
And see, he's still working. He's still working in the heavens and in the hearts. And it's, yes, Lord. Thank you.
Thank
Hallelujah.
You.
Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Anybody want to let me know you're here?
Yep.
God is
Alice
good.
Is here.
Thank you, Alice, being here. Hallelujah.
Thanks, Gretchen.
I
just wanted to say I was really starting to think of how it would play out in the New Testament and how the bathing is the baptism.
Yeah. Oh.
And that you know, I don't know. I just saw all this thing with the Lord and all the disciples baptizing people in the Jordan for the forgiveness of their sin. And I don't know. It just, I keep seeing these flashes of the Old Testament in the New. And that's just what you asked us to do. And I don't know, I'm a little stumbling over expressing what that is. But I really think, you know, the leprosy representing the sin and the completeness, the 7 times that we are forgiven. It's, I don't know.
Amen.
I just want to thank you for bringing all of it to us and just really challenging me, everyone, what kind of servant are we going to be? And another thing, like I also saw a picture of like the established servant, maybe like the Pharisees or those that were in power at that time, and that the true service was coming from those who weren't really noticed. And so I was kind of seeing the symbolism or a pattern overlay, and I just wanted to share that and thank you and continue to just support you any way I can. So thank you so much from all of us out here.
Thank you. God bless you. And it's so Jesus. So, I mean, it's just the whole book. And it's such an honor, the honor of kings. You know, the glory of God is to conceal a matter. The honor of kings is to search it out. And I am very privileged and honored to search out the matter and to bring it to you for motivation to search it out yourself and to do just what Gretchen did and to begin to see the parallels and the glimpses that the Holy Spirit gives us as we discover more about who he is and who we are in him. Praise God. Thank you, Gretchen. I also heard someone else.
Amen, brothers and sisters. Thank you. Such powerful prayers.
Thank you, Mitch. God bless you.
Jane, Vicki was excellent, always. It was very powerful at the end, and I need to get more, into the Old Testament. It's, you know, just like you said, it's very deep. There's so much you can bring out, you know, to today.
Amen.
So
amen. And you know, we're just really scratching the surface here. But you know, there are those of you out there who will take what's been uncovered and dig deeper, like the archaeologist that finds the fragment of the pot and just goes for the whole thing. Or the one little bone of the creature and keeps digging till you get the whole skeleton, the whole structure. Praise God. Thank you, Lisa.
Hello?
Yes, hello.
It's Helen. I'm not going to be able to talk. I'm still continuing with the deliverance. I've never had it quite.
Amen.
I thought you were powerful, but tonight is. Anyway, thank you very, very much. I am going to. I will just have a replay. So this has been quite powerful. Okay, thank you very much.
Amen. You're so welcome. And I agree with you. The anointing was so strong on that tonight. Just God was really moving. And it isn't me, but there is a corporate anointing. When you all come to these meetings with faith, and in faith, and expecting from God, our combined expectation, anticipation, and the faith and trust we have in the Lord puts a demand on heaven that cannot be denied. It just cannot. So don't ever think that your presence on this line is of no consequence. Because every single person adds to that anointing, that draw from the heart of God. So thank you for being here. Anybody else? I was kind of hoping that Phil would be back from rescuing the chickens or the cat or wherever he just went to rescue something so that we could have the benediction. So if you want to talk another minute, maybe he'll get air. I mean, I could do it, but it would be slaughtered. I can't do Hebrew like that. Praise the Lord. Anybody out there can chant Hebrew? I can give you the English. Oh, wait. I think I hear the door. Thank you for hanging in here. We are going to have Pastor Phil. Yeah, we're waiting for you. I was just saying, okay. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and to his sons, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them.
Yivarachach Adonai ve'yishmarecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha yifunecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha yisem lecha. Shalom.
Hallelujah.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
And we add in Yeshem Yeshua, in the name of Jesus, who is our Sar Shalom, our Prince of Peace. And we thank you, Lord, for your blessing. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your anointing. It changes lives, changes hearts, heals, delivers, strengthens, gives us strength and understanding in all things. Thank you, Lord. We honor you tonight. We bow our knee to you, asking to camp your angels around your people. Give them a fabulous week in you. Empower them to do signs and wonders that follow your word. Be with them in all they do. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. God bless you all. And for those of you who can join us at the King's Table on this line, 7:15 in the morning. Have a great night's sleep. Wake refreshed.
Amen.
Amen. Bye now.
God bless. Good night.
Good night. Well.
Okay.